Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
This is Barney Leventino. Welcome to the latest chapter of Turn the Page, the Syosset Library podcast. I'm very happy to welcome today our guest, author J. Todd Scott. Todd, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. I finished up your new book, Lost River, yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I read a lot of mysteries, I read a lot of thrillers, and this one works on that level just as a straight mystery thriller story, cop story, if you would. It's an exciting story, it's good. But there's a really significant message in the book as well, the subject matter, it hits on the opioid crisis. How did you come to focus on that for this latest book?
Well, it had been something that had been on my mind for a while. I'm originally from Kentucky. Earlier in my DEA career, I had the unfortunate opportunity to work a few kind of pill mill pain clinic cases. This was, you know, many years ago before the opioid crisis became what it is now. And when I started Lost River, I was actually working in another state, and we were doing these opioid overdose cases, something that's a little unusual for DEA. We typically don't start our cases at the overdose death, but that's what these were. And we were trying to work our way up to, you know, the criminals, the source of supply for these overdoses. And as I got involved in these cases, it got involved with the families, because oftentimes these cases require you to deal with the family. You know, because they have the most knowledge about who the individual was dealing with, you know, on a day in, day out basis. So I was working on those cases. I had this history prior, and, you know, I had some characters in my head that I wanted to explore, and then they all kind of came together in Lost River.
You know, you talk about the characters. They all are, they're interesting. They bring a unique perspective to the story. And I like the way you paced it. The story takes place for our listeners over a course of 24-hour period.
Right.
And it comes at it from the victims of the overdoses, the people who are treating the victims, and the investigators who are trying to solve this this issue of a rash of overdoses that are taking over this small town. And the impact of these drugs, they affect every single character in the story.
Right.
And they also affect, if you look at the town as a living entity, you can see the impact of the drugs and the whole drug culture specifically on the town, and how it actually really causes the death of a town in a sense.
Right. And my stories often deal, you know, with collateral damage. I'm fascinated by the fallout of people's actions and their failures and their mistakes. And in Lost River, I think you hit it right on the head. The town of Angel, Kentucky, my fictional town, is a character in and of itself. And what's going on over the course of that 24 hours is what's been going on in Angel for 24 years. It's the kind of the slow death of a town. Opportunities have gone away. You know, the economy is not what it used to be. And yet you have people who are trapped there, who don't have a lot of easy choices or chances or ways to escape. And that leaves a place like that. It's fertile soil for the corruption that the book kind of talks about. And then also these kind of deaths of despair that are emblematic of the opioid crisis. So, you know, opioids and substance abuse disorder and stuff like that, those are a way of escapes for people who oftentimes don't have an escape at all. And that's kind of what I wanted to represent in Angel and in the book as a whole. and I wanted to come at it from different angles. You know, the book kind of has this unique structure. It's kind of like a baton. It gets passed off over a 24-hour period between all of these characters. But I wanted to kind of come at it from different angles and show it at different levels, right? Each character's facing this problem as the town is at a different point in their life and at a different perspective. And I wanted to put all that on the page and see how it worked out.
Structure of the book is really interesting. How did you come to structure it in that way? It's a really neat way of doing it.
Well, it's interesting and neat and also risky, you know, because the main character of the book is not who we start with. I mean, if there is a main viewpoint, it's Casey Alexander, and we don't meet her until, you know, nearly 70 pages into it. But I didn't feel that you could get to her story unless you understood the town better and had a view of it from Trey, who's kind of our, you know, Trey Dorado, who's kind of our entry into it. And I just really liked this idea of kind of like a triptych. You know, you have these three main viewpoints. And again, the story's kind of passed like a baton. We see Trey first, and then we see Casey. And then in the end, we see Paul. And although they've all interacted with each other kind of off and on throughout this 24-hour period, each gets a point in the story to kind of take over and then take us home to the ending. So I was trying to do something unique. It's a little risky because it's not a traditional crime story structure, but I hope people can kind of readers can kind of sit with it and give it a chance to kind of take over, because I think it develops a tempo as it goes along.
As a reader and as a reviewer right now, I will encourage our readers to definitely stick with it. I kind of look at the structure as these threads that each of the represented by each of these primary characters, and eventually those threads come together in something of a knot.
Right.
Which kind of gets untangled at the end. It was a neat way of doing it. It was a good story. And again, as a straight crime story, straight cop story, it works really well. It's paced well. It was good to read, and I learned a whole lot that I did not know about the opioid crisis, the underlying drug culture. And a lot of times we think about these issues in terms of being really urban kind of problems, but your setting is rural Kentucky, and you can see again how this really just permeates the entire town.
Right. And you know, there's a lot of books, great crime novels every year that are written about Los Angeles and New York and Chicago. And I have traditionally stayed away from that. I'm fascinated by the dynamics of rural towns. You know, I was born in a very rural place. I think they are ripe for these kind of interesting insular stories. And so I continue to go back to them again and again. And in some respects, the opioid crisis has been symbolized by these small towns. I mean, that seems to be kind of where it took root, or some people think it did. And of course, now opioids and heroin and fentanyl are a problem everywhere at all strata of society. But, you know, the face of this epidemic initially was often rural, often these small towns. And so, you know, I kind of wanted to take a look at that.
Been a career DEA agent for about 30 years or so?
A little over 25 years.
Oh, okay. So obviously your life and your work experiences kind of color your writing. How much of this story came from actual cases that you worked?
Well, I can say that the activities that Casey does in the kind of the middle of the book, part of the book, the spine of it, everything that she does to kind of solve that case and move ahead, and much of what she and her partner Van Dorn talk about, I mean, that's our cases to a nutshell, right? That's a primer for how we would often approach those sorts of cases. You know, I stress whenever I do these kind of talks and stuff that, you know, these books aren't about my career, but you can't write these crime novels that I do and not have the DNA of my career kind of be all over them, the fingerprints of my career. So, you know, I have done pretty much everything that Casey has done in this book. And when I have worked these overdose investigations, the experiences of dealing with families, of dealing with victims, of dealing with people like the Glassers, who kind of are our main, you know, antagonist in the story. I mean, that's all drawn from, you know, my actual career, even if the book isn't about my career.
You're a busy career guy.
Right.
How do you find time to write?
Well, I get up very early in the morning, and that's kind of how I've done it over the last few years. I think anybody who wants to write, who wants to be a writer, I think the first thing they have to figure out is what process works best for them. And fortunately, my process is to get up every day, at 4:30 in the morning, and knock out about 600, 700 words. But I do that every day. And, you know, you'd be surprised at how much of a novel you can get done at that pace if you just do it consistently. And so I get up in the morning, I get my word count done, then I go do my job all day, and then, you know, get up the next morning and do it again. So those couple hours that I get in the morning before the day takes over, before my regular day job takes over, you know, are precious and important to me. But that's how I get them done. And you know, it's not magic. It's just, it's a lot of work and juggling.
This is your fourth novel.
That's right.
And what's coming down the road? Anything?
Well, I'm working on a novel right now. And so I've done the Big Ben trilogy, which I'm very happy with. And, you know, I have a fourth and fifth book in mind for those. I haven't quite pulled the trigger on them yet. You know, I really enjoyed writing Lost River, and now I'm kind of working on something a little bit different, a little bit outside the pure crime genre that I've worked on. I wanted to take a stab at something a little bit different, and we'll see how it comes together. I'm in the early stages of it right now, and if it's not any good, I'll toss it back in the drawer and go back to what I've been doing, but we'll see how it comes together.
You mentioned the Big Ben trilogy. For our readers and our listeners, all of the books are available at Site Asset Library. The Big Ben trilogy is The Far Empty, The High White Sun, and This Side of Night.
Right.
I actually have just begun The Far Empty. I said, this book was great. I'm going to go back to the beginning and go through them. So if anybody's looking to check them out right now, I have them. They'll be back in about a week, but I have them right now, and I recommend them definitely. Let's go back to the beginning and see where it goes. Do you think we'll be seeing more of Casey down the road?
That's ultimately, as I've learned in this business, that's for readers to decide. I think she's a fascinating character. The book has already been optioned, you know, which is where Hollywood has picked it up. I think some people think she would be a pretty interesting character to focus on, perhaps in a limited series or mini series. You know, I've learned again already in this business that you can't put a lot of stock in that stuff, but the fact that it got picked up even before it was published, I think is great. So if Lost River does well and, the stars align, I'd be happy to write more about Casey. I have a lot of files that I keep of, the next story ideas, the next character ideas, and I know the next Casey book if I were to write it.
Just from one reader, I would encourage you to write it. She's definitely, she's an interesting character, I think I'd like to see more. Her whole backstory is kind of interesting as well. It tells you a lot about her, and it raises a lot of questions that I'd like to learn about down the road. The book is Lost River. It is a fascinating look at a really, really horrible problem that is really runs across geographic lines as well. Here, I'm sitting here in Suffolk County. Back in about 2011, we had a pharmacy robbery go bad, which ended up in, I think, four or five people shot and killed. And so this problem is out there. It's rampant, it's dangerous, it's something we need to address. And I don't want to sound like the book is preachy. It absolutely is not. It addresses the issues, but it does it in a really, really interesting and fascinating way. So I recommend it.
Thank you.
Todd, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Again, I'm looking forward to seeing more of these characters, and I'm going to get straight back into The Far Empty and read the whole Big Ben trilogy. So
all right.
I'm looking forward to that. Thanks for joining us.
Hope my
to pleasure. Speak to you again down the road.
All right. Take care. All the best.
Bye-bye. Bye.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.